Hello, welcome back to World Have Your Say. Chloe Tilley live with you for the next 30 minutes. Now, we're going to be speaking about the US Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. You may well remember, he is regarded by some as a deserter who put other US soldiers' lives at risk. Other people consider him a man who should be pardoned. What we do know is he walked away from his post in Afghanistan back in 2009. He was then captured by the Taliban and released 2 years ago when President Obama got involved. He exchanged five Guantanamo Bay detainees for his safe return. He's now asking to be pardoned, and we're going to discuss that in the next 10 or 15 minutes. But first, let's return to a story that we followed here on World Have Your Say in recent weeks. It's the routing of a Dakota oil pipeline. A Native American tribe says the proposed route will contaminate drinking water and run over sacred burial sites. Well, the US Army has now intervened and it says it won't authorise the route of the final section. Instead, alternatives need to be considered. It's not a final decision, but it does mean that many people who were involved with the protests, which we've covered here on the programme, are rather happy. We can speak to Dallas Goldtooth, who is a campaign organiser for the Indigenous Environmental Network on the Standing Rock Reservation, and also joining us is Chris White, an energy and environmental reporter at the Daily Call and News Foundation in Washington, D.C. Welcome both of you to World Have Your Say. Dallas, first of all, I spoke to you, a couple of weeks ago, and you were fighting hard for this. Presumably, you're pleased with this intervention by the U.S. Army.
Thank you very much for having me on the program. I think that we need to celebrate this as a momentary victory, and that is a tremendous moment indeed. You know, we've advocated for the White House administration to step up to the plate to, you know, not grant the final easement for this pipeline across the Missouri River and to order an environmental impact statement. And those two things have been accomplished. I think that, you know, this is not the final nail in the coffin, but this is a significant step in the right direction for us.
You say celebrate this victory, but I'm just reading now that the Newswires are reporting one of Donald Trump's advisor spokesmen saying President-elect Donald Trump supports the construction of a pipeline in North Dakota and says with regard to that, it's something we support and we'll review the full situation when we are in the White House and make the appropriate determination at that time. That was what Jason Miller, who is a Trump spokesman, said at a team news briefing. That doesn't sound very positive from your perspective.
No, we're cautiously optimistic about this win, but we know the cards are still stacked against us. I mean, we're Native American people. We're well aware of the thin agreements that the federal government has made historically with our people. So we're waiting to see the writing on the wall. We're waiting to see what the Trump administration will do. This movement, this fight against Dakota Access Pipeline has gone beyond Standing Rock. It's beyond the country. It's a worldwide movement for the advocation of indigenous rights and for the protection of water away from fossil fuel development. And so, you know, we remain positive. I think that we will win this fight. And we're waiting to see. On January 1st is a critical date coming up, is when a lot of the oil suppliers for this pipeline have an option to renegotiate their contract or utterly leave the pipeline project itself, given the change in prices for oil right at this time. So we want to see if the oil suppliers are going to get scared because of all the conflict that's happened. We want to see if the ongoing divestment campaign will be successful. And we're waiting to see what happens with the Trump administration. But all that aside, I have a firm belief in our stance and our ability to continue to mobilize thousands of people to stand up in defense and support a Standing Rock in this fight.
I'm looking on Twitter at the moment with lots of people using the hashtag Dakota, and I can see fireworks in the sky. Clearly, there have been celebrations. Have you been taking part?
Oh, yeah. It's been a pretty beautiful scene. I mean, we've had over 10,000 people in this encampment. This camp, the Ocheti Shakoin camp, as it calls itself, is currently, I believe, like the eighth largest city in North Dakota at this moment, if it could be designated as a town. It's the celebrations are all across the board. I think that, you know, given the hardships we've faced, given the actual life-threatening situations that we've been faced against at the hands of Morton County Sheriff, the local police department, you know, I think there are sincere grounds for people to celebrate this moment and then look towards tomorrow to continue to fight against this pipeline.
I want to bring Chris in. Do stay with us, Dallas. Chris White from the Daily Caller News Foundation. So I guess the brakes are on, Chris, but this is far from the end of the story, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, after Obama's the Obama administration's decision to essentially halt the, I'm getting some reverberation. I'll just plow right on through.
sorry, we'll have a tweak on our end and see if we can clear that up. But do carry on if you wouldn't mind.
Oh yeah. So after the Obama administration's decision to essentially halt the pipeline, the decision now goes to President-elect Donald Trump after the election, after January 8th, I think, inauguration. So it's far from over. It is essentially a temporary halt, which is something that the Energy Transfer Partners, the company that's constructing the pipeline, has been dealing with for the past month and a half since the initial decision to halt the pipeline in early November.
And so, it's worth saying that Donald Trump has got financial interests in one of the firms, hasn't he, which is building this pipeline?
Right. He has divested himself of those interests, the specific interest in Energy Transfer Partners, which he had something in the neighborhood of $500,000 to, I think, $1 million in interest in the company. Although he does have interest in other companies that have that stand to gain from the construction of the pipeline. He currently does. So, although again, he has tweeted out that he is willing to drop all of his business dealings in order to take up his White House position. So that would essentially, I guess, recuse him of conflicts of interest going forward. We'll see if he actually does that.
Mm. Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in Fargo in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this? Do you see this as a huge victory or merely just another barrier overcome for the protesters?
Well, it depends on really which side of the pipeline you're standing on. And thank you very much for having me on your program, by the way. The public officials, the private sector is looking at this as a delay in what eventually will probably end up being a completed pipeline. The reason that they chose this specific route was because it runs directly next to a natural gas pipeline, so this was the preferred method that to run the pipe. So from a private sector side, from a public official standpoint, they're looking at it as a delayed kick the can down the road to an eventual completion of a pipeline. If you're on the other side of it, you know, quite honestly, they look at the protesters a lot like underdogs right now, because you have a president coming in who used to have shares in the company. He recently sold them, but he's very business friendly. You've got the public that is supporting these people because they don't necessarily think the protesters in the end will have their day, I guess, their true day. And so it's kind of a mixed bag here in North Dakota, to be perfectly honest. But the governor has come out and called it a mistake. The Congressman Kramer has come out and said that the decision to delay this pipeline or not give an easement for the pipeline is a big blow to America's infrastructure. Of course, that's a big push right now, is how to get infrastructure built, because really at the end of the day, the oil is going to come out of the Bakken, whether it's by pipe or by rail or by truck. It will come out. So oil prices might go up a little bit. That might actually happen. And we've heard some energy companies talk about that, because you're going to have to go to a more expensive route, either by rail or by truck.
Dallas, do you want to respond to those points that Jason raises?
Well, I think that there's this false premise that we are continuously hearing, that we have to depend on fossil fuel development in the very moment, without any solid conversation about a just transition towards renewable, sustainable energy. And in the United States right now, there are more jobs being created in solar energy than there is in coal and oil combined. It is a booming industry, and that's a necessity for us, not only as to build a more sustainable economy that is independent, that is not dependent on foreign sources of energy, but also it is necessity for us as a society to really address climate change and to be accountable for the greenhouse gas emissions that we're currently putting in the air. So I think that we really, you know, that this pipeline fight, of course, is about that one pipeline. I disagree that, you know, it is going to be, it is inevitable. I believe that, you know, the pipeline is currently basically not needed at this point. The current production levels of the Bakken level don't even necessitate the amount of oil that this pipeline is proposed
but
to
But surely,
carry.
Dallas, this is so far gone, isn't it? This crosses four states. It's 1,900 kilometres long. This is the final section. They're not suddenly going to throw away their multi-billion dollar investment and say, oh, actually, no, we don't need it. We'll walk away.
Oh, no, we are definitely 100% the underdogs in this situation. And we're clearly aware of the cards stacked against us in this case. But given all those the stats that you just listed, one added to it is that this pipeline was supposed to be completed about 4 months ago. It is 4 months of active resistance, of solid organizing, of thousands of people across the globe taking to the streets and support Standing Rock in their legitimate arguments against this pipeline that has delayed it thus far. And really, the name of the game is death by delay. Like the more we delay, the more this becomes a financial risk for this pipeline. And that's, you know, really where we're going to hit them the most is in the pocketbook. So, you know, we applaud the decision by this, you know, that the decision of the White House. That decision was made by the efforts of just common people around the kitchen table who said, we're done with this dependence on fossil fuels. We're done with this disregard for indigenous rights in the routing of these pipeline projects.
Jason, is there another route that this pipeline could go that isn't going to disturb people, upset people, that would keep everybody happy? Because presumably no one really wants it through their area, do they?
No, it's a case of NIMBY, not in my backyard. But also, really, they could go a new direction, but the cost of it would be so astronomical because so much of the pipeline is already done. I mean, it's something like 95% of the pipeline is already complete. The death by delay comment is really one of the more interesting ones because since the beginning, this protest has been very well organized, extremely well organized, to where several months ago they were commenting about the winter is not going to scare them away. And I see they've already raised $1 million of their $1.2 million goal for the next round of funding. So the protesters, if their true end game is death by delay, they are really doing a heck of a job. They are winning the battle. And because they do believe, a lot, like a lot of others, that necessarily they don't, but a lot of people do believe that it's going to happen. 95% of it's done. Trump is going to be in the White House. And there's so many pipelines in the ground right now. Why this one specific one? So when you really start taking the layers off of the onion, so to speak, there is a good argument to say it's going to go through. Now, from the Native American side, the water is life is really their best argument. So if they can continue going with that, they might be able to delay a little longer. But if the end of the game really is going to be delay and financially cost these companies money, they're doing a great job at it. They really are. Like I said, they've been well organized out of the gate. They've had organization control out of the gate.
Chris, I want to bring you in here. Could anything stop this happening? Could President Obama intervene and say, absolutely not, you can't build the pipeline through this area? The U.S. Army, of course, has intervened already, saying you have to look at different routes.
Right. I want to address one comment about the drinking water drinking supply. There currently Standing Rock gets its water supply about 20 miles downstream of where the pipe is supposed to go across the river. The tribe has been able to secure a new water treatment plant that's 70 miles south of that, which would make it more difficult to argue that the pipeline would endanger the tribe's drinking water. And that happened, I think, that decision was made, I think, 2 weeks ago or earlier this month. So it makes the situation a little more difficult for the tribe going forward. As far as the pipeline being completed, like I heard earlier, it's about 95% complete, maybe 90 to 95% complete, with the exception of the pipeline being connected over the river. So it's the possibility of reroute is almost remote. It would cost an astronomical amount of money to pull up the pipe. All the pipeline that has been built, 1,000 miles worth of pipeline has sort of been built. So it's like we've commented here, it's the overwhelming stay is on the the people who are opposing the pipeline. They're really at the their backs are on the wall. So
Dallas, if your back's against the wall, what's the best outcome that you can realistically hope for?
I am the most optimistic chipmunk in the room right now. I believe that we can stop this pipeline. I think that, you know, a reroute is a feat that is, you know, is somewhat unrealistic, but it's something that, you know, the administration is going to look into. I think that, you know, they have every right to look into that. In the argument, you know, the crux, one of the major foundations of the tribe's arguments in this case is that Dakota Access in the state of North Dakota did not follow the letters of the law and properly consult the tribe through this entire process. I mean, they basically developed their own plan. They developed the plans, the route, everything that went along with it, and then went to the tribe and said, here, what do you think about this? That's not consultation. The tribe 2 years ago in a recorded meeting said, we don't want this pipeline. And no matter where you put it, if it's within our treaty territories, within our territorial lands, we do not approve of this pipeline. So the only approved route would be have to be outside of that treaty land, which is north of Mandan, about 60 miles north. So, you know, the odds are against us. I think also the odds are, you know, are stacking up against Dakota Access. They have the funds, you know, which means that they have the might, but we as water protectors have the right. And as numerous cases in the past have demonstrated, that the right will always overcome the might.
Dallas, thank you ever so much for joining us. Dallas Goldtooth there speaking to us. Also, we heard from Chris White and Jason Spies talking about that latest development in the controversial Dakota oil pipeline. You're listening to World Have Your Say. We've got around 10 minutes of the programme remaining, and we're going to turn our attention to a story that was trending out of the US.